Will you bow your heads with me as we approach God's throne this morning and find His grace? Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank You again that You are here with us. Lord, Your children have gathered and we are listening. So speak and help us to follow. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. How many of you groaned when you saw the sermon title this morning? And you thought, oh, just great. Pastor Michael's going to talk about baseball for the sermon. We know what that means. Well, never fear. I will show great restraint as a Yankee fan and behave myself today. It's easier to do that when your team isn't doing that great. But to begin, I have a question for you today. Questions always come to my mind, and they probably come to your mind too. When we wrestle with these things, they probably keep you up at night. Here's the question. Have you ever wondered why, when someone's baptized, after their baptism, have you ever wondered why God doesn't just strike them dead by lightning right as they're coming out of the tank? I think about these things. And so you get to think about them too Saturday morning. You say, Pastor, what a horrible start to, that's a horrible illustration. I know, but think about it. The person who's been baptized, they've been saved, they've been baptized, they've been justified by Christ, right? So if God were to end their life, then they would only have to rest secure and wait for the second coming. And isn't that God's number one purpose right now? Isn't that His plan? Isn't that God's will for everyone possible to be saved and go to heaven? So why doesn't God just zap us as soon as we're saved? Say, oh man, the pastor's going to make me think today. Yes, we are. All this brings to this question. What is God's purpose for our life? What is God's will? Now, that's a very big question. We're not going to exhaust all the answers this morning. We're going to try to keep it simple. Is it God's plan simply to save us so that we can go to heaven? Let's think this morning. God's will. Well, number one on God's will is to destroy sin and evil. Amen? That is part of God's plan. And number two, I do believe that it is God's plan to save as many people as He can. Amen? We need to make sure that our picture of God isn't like a hockey goalie at the gates of heaven trying to keep people out. When in reality, He's doing everything He can to get people there. But is that all of God's plan? Or is there more? Now, we believe that God is all-powerful. But even though He's completely sovereign, we also believe that God has allowed us to have free will, to have choice. God gives human beings the choice to be saved. There on the cross, two men both made a choice. One to believe in the one that hung between them, and the other chose not to. God gave them that choice. So this biblical idea, first written about by Arminius, and then John Wesley made it popular, and even Mrs. White believed this way, that God has given us choice. But after we're saved, do we still have freedom of choice? Do we still have it? Or are we saved once for always? I know some family members and some friends of mine who believe once saved, always saved. Is that true? Well, in your Bible, we have the text Romans chapter 11, verse 22. And this text, I think, speaks to us about this idea of once you're saved, you're always saved. Nothing you can do to stop being saved. Well, Romans 11, verse 22 says, therefore, consider the goodness and the severity of God on those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in His goodness. Otherwise, you will be cut off. A tiny little word in that verse, if, but it's a big word. If you continue in His goodness, otherwise. Another verse that speaks to this idea of once saved, always saved, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. Peter writes and he says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them, and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. The Bible says that we still have choice after we come to God. After we accept Him, we still have the chance if we choose. For He will never let go of us, but if we choose, we can let go of Him. So my friends, if we can choose to lose salvation, then that takes me back to my first question. Why doesn't God just lightning bolt us right after we're saved? Well, perhaps we do not have a complete view of God's plan yet. God's will, what is it? It is, as we said, to destroy sin and evil. It is to save as many people as possible. But there's one other thing that God wants to do. He also wants to recreate His image in us. All the way back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27 says that God created us in His image. That was the original plan. Till we mess things up with a visit to the tree. But part of God's will is to recreate that image in us. So if He zaps us right upon baptism, or right when we accept Christ, did He really recreate that image in us? Did He allow us to have free will after baptism? Would Satan have a case against God if He laid us to rest immediately when we're saved? What does it mean for God to want to recreate this image in us? And what is the rest of God's will? Well, we're going to find out today. The question we're going to ask today is, does God want to take you to the ball game, or does He want to take you out of the ball game? And let's look at our verse for this morning. Our scripture text today, if you'll open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, this verse is all about baseball. It's what I learned in seminary class, so I have to share it with you. One of my professors talked to me about this, so let's see if we can learn a little bit about God's will and His purpose as we think about one of America's favorite pastimes, Matthew chapter 28. We're going to start in verse 29. Love to hear those pages turning, or if you don't have pages, click that iPad pod thing you got, phone, whatever. Find the Bible getting in front of you. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Is this a command from Christ? What would you think? Is it a command? Certainly sounds like it. In fact, in verse 18, He begins by saying, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me." That's the type of thing you say when you're about to give a command. So what's the command in this verse? That's why I wanted you to have it in front of you. I want you to look at it because it's kind of tricky to see it in English. What is the command here that we find in these verses? When Jesus is talking to His disciples right before He's getting ready to leave and to head off to heaven, He gives, this is His last words in the Gospel of Matthew. What's the command that we find here? Is the command to baptize? Actually, no. That's certainly something that we should do, right? And we work diligently to baptize people, but in these verses, that's actually not the command. Is the command to teach people? No, that's actually not the command. Now, are we supposed to teach? Amen. And we do that at this church. But that's not the command. Is the command to obey? Actually, no. Now, is obedience important? Well, that was pretty quiet. Is following God and obeying Him important? Amen. It's important to follow God. God does have a law. And if you say it's not important to follow God's law and you happen to be married, got some explaining to do to your spouse, right? Because God says, I want you to obey and I want you to stay together. So obeying is important. God does have His Ten Commandments. And we are, by grace and through the power of the Holy Spirit, to keep His commands. But that's not the command in these verses. So what's the command? Can you find it in there? Do you see it? Verses 19 and 20. Oh, I'm hearing a word there, tiny little word, go. And that certainly sounds like the command, right? If I were to say to you, Emily, go get me a cup of water, you'd say I'm busy. But that's a command, right? Only in this verse, Jesus doesn't say it like that. This is why sometimes we miss some things in our translations. In verse 19, it originally reads like this. He says, having gone, therefore. What a strange way to begin a sentence. He doesn't say, go, therefore. He says, having gone, therefore. Which is strange. I can see why they translated it differently. But it's a minor difference that makes a huge difference. You see, Jesus isn't so much commanding the disciples to go. He says, having gone, which sounds weird, but you have to realize they had seen Jesus. They had experienced the horror of the cross. These men had been and seen the empty tomb. They had seen his hands with the nail scars in them. They'd heard his voice. They'd heard his teaching. They had experienced a risen Savior, Jesus Christ, as Lord. So watch this now. He did not have to tell them to go because he knew they were going to go. Amen? Listen to me, friends, when we understand the love of Christ on the cross, when we know the reality of an empty tomb, when we know that Jesus Christ is a risen Savior and Lord of our lives, we do not need to be told to go, because we will go. Amen? We have to. So Jesus says, having gone, therefore. So what is the command in these verses? In the original language, it's in verse 19. Make disciples. All the other things are important. Teaching, baptizing, going, all that's important. But the command in the Greek language is make disciples. Making disciples is number one for God. Does it involve teaching and baptism? You bet. But it's more than just teaching, more than just baptism. And it involves God's ultimate will for our lives, to destroy sin and evil, to save as many people as he possibly can, to recreate his image in us. We're going to flesh that out and figure out what that means. And the last one, what is it all about? Well, we're going to try to explain it. We're going to try to make it so you understand what God's plan is. And to do that today at church, we are going to play baseball. That's right. And you can't play baseball without having bases. So, you need bases to play baseball, correct? Home plate will be down here by you guys. Now we need, what's next? First base, right. You didn't realize there's going to be some congregation participation today. My favorite. And after first base, second base, we'll put second base up here. And third base, we're going to do some teaching today. Now, to play baseball, you don't just need bases. You need a hitter, right? So we need a hitter. So let's start with, let's have Gwen. Would you help me today, Gwen? Gwen Hawkins is a good friend of mine, and she was baptized here in this last year. So we're going to have you help out. You're going to be a hitter. Are you a big baseball fan? You are today, though. All right. So we're going to have you come over here because this is God's baseball game. So you're going to be on home plate if you just want to kind of stand there for a second. We're going to try to figure out how God plays baseball and how all of this understands with God's will in Matthew 28. And Gwen, you're going to help us all today. You're going to preach a sermon, all right? So, what is this all about? We want to play some baseball today. Now, Gwen is at home plate. Is that where she wants to stay? No, in the game of baseball, where does she want to get? She wants to get to first base to start off with, to start off eventually all the way around. So we want to get Gwen to first base. What is first base in God's baseball game? It's baptism. And sure enough, Gwen and I studied. And as we studied, she made a choice and a decision to be baptized. So she went from first base to, or from home plate to first base. So we're going to have you come up here, Gwen. You're playing ball here and made it to first base. And that's great. You can turn around and look at them. They're not that scary. All right, good. Okay, so we got her on first base. Now the method to get to first base, when we do that, and if you read this in the King James Version, it talks about teaching all nations. So getting from home base to first base, at baptism, it's involved teaching. That's part of it. It's connected. We have to be taught about Christ before we make a decision. Amen? And Gwen did that, and I'm so proud of her. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter says, repent and be baptized. Make a choice for God, and then he will give you the Holy Spirit. So first base here is our equivalent in salvation to justification. Fancy word for the day. It just simply means justification. God saves you just as you are. Gwendolyn didn't have to become some super Christian before she got to first base. She just had to accept that Jesus died for her, and she made it there. Is that the end of the game? Is that the end of the story? Does God just want us to get to first base? Well, sometimes in baseball, there's a base runner who will walk or he'll get a single, and he'll get to first base, and the guy can't run worth a lick. And so the manager pulls him out of the game and puts on a better base runner, someone faster. Is that what God wants to do with us? Does he want to pull us out of the ball game? No, he doesn't. And that's why God doesn't just zap us with lightning immediately after we say we're saved. Because first base is not the end of God's will. But what about the rest of us? Now, I can tell you guys are sitting out there and you're thinking, how come Gwen gets to have all the fun today, right? That's right. Now, Adventists, we love getting to first base, and we're pretty good at it, too. So, let's get others to first base also. Other people who've been baptized here recently, now I'll scan the crowd and see. And Elliot, your mom sold you out. She pointed at you. Elliot, come up here. He was baptized this last year by his father, Pastor Andy, so we're going to have you come up there. Now, Gwen, you got to stay on first base, because if you're on first base and you get off, you can get out. So, Elliot, you were baptized, too, so also from home base, we're going to have you go up to first base too. So get on first base. You got to stay there because otherwise you could get out. There's other people who have been baptized here too. Where have they disappeared to? Now, I saw Aubrey earlier. She was working, and now there she is. Aubrey, you were baptized also, I think the same day as Gwen. So let's have you get up here. And yes, you also go from home plate to first base. Come on up there. Get there, up there too. Very good. And let's see, not everyone was baptized here. I believe, Angela, weren't you baptized here recently? Come up here. We're going to get you to first base, too. All right, so you go up to first base. And thank you, Angela, for being willing to help out. Get up there to first base, too. Make sure you're touching the base now. And there's no safety here in the back of the church also. It's really not. Sorry. Let's see. Now, sometimes people are studying to be baptized, and you know what? Lindsay Herrick, you're studying with me right now to get baptized, so we're going to kind of dream in the future for that special day when you get baptized, and we're going to put you up on first base, too. And you know what? It's not just people from Nebraska who get baptized. Sometimes there are people from Iowa who get baptized, right, Tia? Miss Tia, would you come up there and show us that people in Iowa also get baptized? Isn't it great when you have visitors at church? Miss Tia, come up here and also get, you know, you're going to represent all of the state of Iowa. You sat too close to the edge, otherwise I would have grabbed one of the others. All right, go now, Lindsay, you got to get on base. Get on base. You're not touching the base, you can get out. Tia, you up there too. You're not on first base. Up there, okay. You got to all be touching first base. Now, Gwen, how does it feel now? You were up there kind of by yourself for a while. How does it feel? It's a little crowded here at first base. And you know what, folks? This is what happens at church sometimes. We get so focused on everybody getting to first base, and it gets crowded. And guess what? If I kept throwing more people up here, eventually toes would get stepped on, wouldn't they? And that happens at church. And then sometimes people feel discouraged. They say, well, this is not like it was when I started. So you know what we do? We jump off of first base, and we come back over here. We think, well, I kind of lost that first excitement of being a Christian, so I got to start over again. We come back here and we try to get another single. Now, sometimes that's needed. But most time, the problem is we got to get from first base to second base. Amen? All right, so I'm going to let all you baptized folks go back, except for you, Gwen. I'm going to continue to have you up here. Thank you for helping out today. They didn't know that we're going to do that. Get you back on first base. We got to figure out what we're supposed to do, because it's not just going home and keep going back and forth. It's second base. Now, what is second base? What's the next part of God's will? What does he want you to do after you're baptized? Now, we know how to get to first, but second base can be confusing. Any guesses today? Now, I used to think that second base was getting those spiritual gifts that God gives us, but it's not second base. It's actually the fruit of the Spirit. is second base. The fruit of the Spirit. Now, what is the fruit of the Spirit? Does anyone know? Okay, I hear it being recited out there. How many are there? How many fruit of the Spirit are there? Okay, guys, I hear nine. All right, there we go. And it's from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. How many fruit? Count them up. There are one fruit of the Spirit. There is one fruit of the Spirit. Did you catch that? When you read that in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is. Is, it's a tiny little word in English, and it means that there's only one. So why does it list them all out like that? Well, because it involves all these things. But think about it. Can you be loving and not be kind? It doesn't really fit. Can you be patient and not be gentle? They kind of all fit together. Can you have peace without having joy? So what is the fruit of the Spirit? Friends, it is the righteousness of Christ. The characteristics of Jesus that he gives to us after we're baptized, it's that recreating us in his image like we were at the beginning in the garden. It's Jesus' characteristics that he wants us to have. That's part of God's will. Now, this is exciting. How do we get there, though, from first base to second base? Now, in baseball, you try to steal it sometimes. We're not stealing at church, though. You can't steal. That's not good. So how do you get there? Well, back to Matthew 28, verse 20. It says, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. So, after baptism, there's still more teaching, amen? We've got more to learn after we're baptized. So, to get the fruit of the Spirit, there's teaching involved in it. So, we have some folks here who are Sabbath school teachers, amen? So, you get to come up here and help. So, Miss Beth Baker, I see you out there looking way too comfortable. Come up here. You're going to be like the first base coach in baseball because there's a coach here that's also standing by the hitter and is telling them when to go. So we've got Miss Beth. We've also got other ministries. We've got women's ministries leaders, right? And where are they hiding at? Way in the back? Where's Miss Carol? Come up here. Carol is our women's ministry leader here. She's involved in ministry, and it's about helping people to develop those fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. So come on up here, Carol. Now it's your job to help Gwen, to teach her, to lead her, to help her get involved in ministry so that you can direct her to second base. So kind of just walk her there. I know the coach really doesn't do that in baseball, but walk her there to second base. That's where we want to get her. We don't want her to just be on first base. All right, she's safely there at second base. Ladies, thank you for being a walking illustration for me. Now that you're nice and awake, you can go back and sit down. Gwen, you stay here because you're not home yet. You're not home. So we got her to second base. And what is second base? First base was justification. Second base is sanctification. Another fancy word in salvation. And here's what it's all about. In John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father. And he will give you another helper that may abide with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. Whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you. This is what's happening when we get to second base. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, I'm going to pray, and he's going to send him to us. And this is the process of sanctification, which is the fancy way of just saying God saves you by making you holy, by changing you. And it'd be great if he did it overnight. Sometimes God is patient, and he works with us. So, we've got her to second base. Now, all you baseball fans out there, when a runner is on second base, what do we call that? A runner in scoring position. They can almost get there. They're almost home. And once we're being recreated in God's image, once the fruit of the Spirit is in us, we are almost there, almost home. But there's another base that's coming up. And so, what's our third base? We want to get the third base. What is it? This is the next part, going from second to third, and it is the gifts of the Spirit. Not just the fruit of the Spirit, but the gifts. Every person, every believer has a gift. It's about being involved in ministry. Can you say amen? It's about evangelism. Let's hear about it if you want to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to start in verse 4. And Gwen, since you're back here without a Bible, you can read along with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. Paul says there are a diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So how many people get a gift? Everybody. All of us do. So now, a church has to have ministries that don't just get somebody to first base and accept Jesus, that don't just teach them how to be loving and caring and gentle and kind, but there's got to be members in the church that are doing ministry to get them to go from second base to third base. Kind of like the third base coach, right? And we got some of those. We've got elders in our church who do that. So let's have an elder come up to the front here. Peter, you want to join me up here? And we've got, who else do we have that helps with things like this? Our personal ministries team helps with this, helps people find their gifts and their ministries. And Rich Jacobs and Betty Jacobs are going to help with that. And I've been scanning the crowd frantically. I can't find them. So Peter, you come up there. There they are. Ah, you've been pointed out. Come up here, Rich and Betty. Part of our personal ministries group. Helping people find their gifts, helping people find their ministry. So you guys come up here. It's going to be your job because we don't want to leave Gwen stranded on second. We want to get her all the way to third base. So yeah, like a third base coach, you guys take her down to third base, would you? And this is because they're involved in ministries. They're sacrificing their time and their talents to get her there safely. They did it, and I didn't even have to help, did I? I did nothing. I was over here talking to you guys while that happened. Isn't it amazing how members can be involved in ministry? Thank you guys for coming up and helping. We'll let you guys go down. Gwen, stay put. You're not done yet. Get to go home and tell your friends, what did you do at church today? Played baseball today. They will, you know, knock them flat. They won't know what that means. Now, once we get to third base, the Holy Spirit has been helping Gwen develop that fruit of the Spirit. Now she's been given that gift for ministry, and she already knows her gifts, and she's already using them. Where is she ready to go? She's ready to go home, isn't she? She's getting involved in ministry. She's received a gift from Jesus, and brothers and sisters, everybody gets a gift. Some get more than one, but everybody at least gets one. What is your gift? Have you figured it out? And when we use our gifts, when we get involved, we are ready to head to home plate and help someone else know Jesus. So now, Gwen, you're ready. You're using your gifts. You're ready to go home. So let's head towards home base on the way there. And you get there, slide into, don't slide in. I'm just kidding. You're wearing a dress. You shouldn't slide. All right, we got her home. Amen? And isn't that what we wanted to begin with? We didn't want to just get to first base, but we wanted to get home. And that's God's will. For Gwen's life, for her, and for all of us to be disciple makers, to be involved in ministry. Jesus said, not just follow me, but follow me and I will make you fishers of men, of humanity. I will make you a disciple maker. Thank you very much, Gwen, for helping out today. She didn't know she was going to be doing all this, but she did agree to help me. So thank you for being our base runner today. A disciple maker. Took me 4 years to go from home plate to first base. I'm a slow runner. 4 years of study and anguish and wrestling with God before I finally got there. And when I got to first base, I'll tell you my thought was, whoo, it's finally over. 4 years. God has done it. Praise the Lord. I am where I need to be. And then God said, no, you ain't. No, you isn't. I don't know if God has bad grammar like me, but he said, that's not where I want you to be. And I said, yes, I'm going to be the best rock and roll DJ for the Lord you've ever seen. He said, that's not my plan. And God continued to work with me. And he moved me around those bases and other people at church were involved in moving me around these bases and getting me back to home base so that I could be involved in ministry. Now, folks, it's not just the pastor. That's my point here. It's not just the pastor that's involved in making disciples. Can you say amen? all ministries can make disciples. It's not just about giving a Bible study. But every ministry that helps another person realize that Christ loves them is part of the game. And my friends, God wants you in the game. At this time, I believe our deacons are going to do something for me. If my deacons are out there and ready, we want you guys to be in the game. Right now, we're in the middle of nominating committee. And so we want to know if there are ministries that you want to be a part of. So each of these guys here has a thing, has a sheet. It's opportunities for ministry. And I'm going to have them just take a few minutes to hand them out. So guys, just go on out there. And if you want to get one of these things, just raise your hand and we'll get it to you. Now, maybe you're already involved in ministry. Praise the Lord. Maybe you want to try something new. That's good too. This is your opportunity to let us know what part you want to play in moving base runners. So they're handing them out to you. Take it, pray about it. Now maybe you say, Pastor, I've been involved and I got to take a break from ministry. That's okay too. We can't be involved in ministry all the time. And sometimes it's all right to take a step back and to relax. We can't always be on the front line. But they're handing these things out. And if anybody would like to let us know what ministries you'd like to be a part of, please do that now. While they hand it out, I'm going to grab something that looks like needs to come to me.
There's a man that called.
Okay. Well, seventh inning stretch, okay? That happens in the ball game. We got a little announcement here. Somebody has a white Volkswagen van, Voyager van, not good with cursive. A white Voyager van that's been parked on 49th Street. The person who lives near that house would like that van to be moved. Apparently, it's like keeping them from getting out. So they're asking that that white Voyager van be moved as soon as possible. So I'm sharing that with you on 49th Street. Okay, seventh inning stretch is done. So we'll go back to it now. Community. Once we're involved in ministry, community begins, and Paul spoke about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26 and 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26 and 27. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. A community of believers, that's what church is supposed to be like. And friends, God cannot build community with those gifts until we first have the fruit, until we learn how to love each other. And if you don't believe me, again, listen to Paul. In verse 31, he says, earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I will show you a more excellent way. Verse 31 is a very, or chapter 13 is a very famous part of Scripture. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. He says, I could have all the gifts you'd ever want, but if I don't have love in my heart, it means nothing. If you try to steal third base without going to second base, it doesn't work in baseball, and it doesn't work in God's game either. And that's the problem. Excellent way. Verse 31 is a very, or chapter 13 is a very famous part of Scripture. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. He says, I could have all the gifts you'd ever want, but if I don't have love in my heart, it means nothing. If you try to steal third base without going to second base, it doesn't work in baseball, and it doesn't work in God's game either. And that's the problem with some churches today. There are some churches today who are content with going just to first base. And they get here and say, I'm good. Whew, I made it. Now I can just sit in a pew, and all is well. There are some churches that skip first base, and they want to run straight to second base, and just focus on love, and just being nice to each other. But they completely forget that there's a choice that has to be made, and obedience. There are other churches that want to skip first base, second base, and just give me the gift. I want the gift. And if you don't have the gift, you don't have Jesus. You don't have the Spirit without this gift or that gift. Again, a mistake that we make. Each base is important. Each base. Paul said, gifts are nothing unless there's fruit. And fruit will not happen unless we first make a decision to follow Jesus. And a Christian who has Christ's loving character, who made it to second base but doesn't want to get involved in ministry, that's like a bird refusing to fly. Now, he may get around, he may hop around for a little bit, but he's not truly being what God intended him to be. It's like a fish who won't swim. So back to our first questions today. What is God's will for our lives as individuals and for a church? God's will is, first and foremost, to destroy sin and evil forever, to save as many people as he possibly can. That's first base. To recreate and restore his image in us. That's second base. And he also wants to empower us with the gifts of the Spirit so that we can get back to home base and be a disciple maker and help someone else go from home to first. That's what God wants for us. Jesus Christ ends his ministry in the Gospel of Matthew by commanding his followers to round the bases, to make disciples. So here's the hammer question for the day. Are we a commandment-keeping church, folks? Are we a commandment-keeping church? As Adventists, we take pride in it, don't we? We follow the law. We follow the commandments of God. What about the commandment of Jesus to get in the game? If we are a commandment-keeping church, we must follow Jesus' command to make disciples. And maybe this morning you're thinking, well, Pastor, what do I do? What can I do with this? Folks, get in the game. It's time to pray and figure out which base you're at. Are you at home needing to make a decision to accept Jesus as your Savior? Are you still at first base, needing teaching and needing the Holy Spirit's power to develop the fruit of the Spirit? Or have you been trying to get to third base without first getting Christ's love in your heart? Or maybe you've been content to hang out in scoring position on second base, with no plans to ever use the gifts that God has entrusted to you. My friends, just like the father loves to watch his son play baseball, God wants you in the game. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. He could go up there and hit a home run every time if God wanted to. But instead, he chooses to use you. The first question that God ever asked humanity was in Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. He said to Adam and Eve, where are you? He said, where are you? And I believe God is still asking us that question today. Where are you? My friends, wherever you're at, let's get in the game. May we be broken and accept God's love. May we accept Christ's righteousness. May we be holy and get in the game. Will you pray with me now? Our loving Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for your plan, for your will, because it's better than ours. And Lord, maybe today some of us are grasping the fact that we've had an incomplete view of you, an incomplete view of your plan for our lives. But whatever base we're stuck at, Lord, help us to realize that there is a way for us to move forward. Help us to realize, Lord, that we have a part to play in moving the base runners around the bases and getting more and more people involved, getting more and more people to know you. Because, Lord, deep down in each of us, we want to be in heaven. We want to be with you and be out of this messed up world that we're in. But we don't want to go there alone. We want as many people as possible to go with us. So, Lord, break us down and then build us up that we may have your righteousness, that we may follow you and get in the game. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.